Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
Psalms 119, if you would find that, there we will find our text assignment, the text message for this morning. It's a brief passage of scripture that we're going to look at there in Psalms chapter 119. And when you have it, we're going to focus on verse 71 in Psalms 119. I'm going to read it first in the King James Version, and then we'll read it in the New Living Translation. All right. Psalms 119, verse 71. Listen to it first in the King James Version. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Hear it again. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. As a matter of fact, you ought to go ahead and highlight that verse of scripture. It's going to be important for you. In the New Living Translation, that same verse of scripture, Psalms 119, verse 71, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. It was, I will tell you, a conversation that I was having with several bishops when Bishop James Chambers made the statement of this verse. And he offered this thought: trouble is my teacher. And he said, go look at it. Somebody ought to preach that. Well, here it is. Psalms 119, verse 71, trouble is my teacher. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are and for how you bless us and for how you love us in everything. You love us so much that because you know everything, you give to us your word to nourish us and to strengthen us for that which is and for what is to come. Thank you that privilege and opportunity is presented to us right now. Give us your word. Bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. Use me as your oracle in this moment, for these few moments. We give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are not always the best judges of what is and what is not good for us. Often, we're more experts at what we feel is good to us or bad to us, but not necessarily do we have the same degree of judgment or jurisprudence when it comes to what's actually good for us. And I believe it starts early on. As kids, many of us didn't want to eat our vegetables because they weren't good to us. But we learned later what our parents explained was that the vegetables they were trying to get us to eat were actually good for us. They contain vitamins and nutrients, other things essential to our health and development. However, that wasn't what we as children based our definition of good on. We judge the taste and the texture. And if it was pleasing to us, we desired it. If not, we judged it as not good. The vegetables of broccoli or the cauliflower or the carrots were not as good to us as the pizza and the French fries or the burgers that we longed for. As we got older, I am sure, the same criteria, even late in our lives, of what is good to us and or for us. And unfortunately, this is detrimental because we've trained ourselves to only accept or desire what feels good to us, regardless of whether or not it is good for us. And then we reject what is actually good for us because of how it feels to us. Can I help you right there? That some of us are stuck because we have grown and groomed our lives and our appetite to only think that what's good to us is actually good for us. And if it's bad to us, then it must be bad for us. This is further problematic because we then view anything that does not feel good to us as inherently bad. Did you get it? That's what we do. Anything that doesn't feel good, then we deem it as inherently bad. Let me prove it. Death, job loss, repossession, bankruptcies, sickness, relocations, failed classes, demotions, unwanted pregnancies, evictions, foreclosures, divorces, breakups, miscarriages, lost wallets, lost keys. All of these things would easily be regarded by most, if not all of us, as troublesome. They are burdens. They don't feel good to us. And that descriptive is only applied as troublesome because of the appetite we have or the desire that we have or do not have for those things. But I know that there's a witness to every one of these things that's in service right now that could actually testify if we had the time that for everything that I've mentioned, somebody has come through it with something more valuable that they gained, learned, found, or recovered as a result of every one of the troublesome things that I just mentioned. It becomes to us the very real presentation of life that even in moments of trouble, that good can come out of it. It can be good for us, even what's not good to us. If we were in the one space together, I would tell you to high five your neighbor and tell them it might not feel good to you, but it's good for you. As a matter of fact, if I were to hasten to a close, I would remind you of the apostolic guarantee given in Romans 8:28 as proof that good comes out of trouble. You remember what Paul said, don't you? And we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. That's good things and bad things. That's up things and down things. That's right things and wrong things. That's trust things and trouble things. All things work together for good. They won't feel good, but they're working for good. It's the understanding then that you and I must arrive at to have a better, if I might say, appreciation for trouble. Yeah. I'll run that by you one more time. We need a better appreciation of trouble and what trouble actually does in the life of the believer. We need a better understanding and appreciation of it because Psalms also reminds us that we get a lot of it. Yes, the text tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the many are our troubles. But here's the good news. The Lord delivers us out of them all. We have to develop a better understanding, a better appreciation of trouble. We live in a climate right now that is troublesome. Every day we read the news reports of things that bring us trouble, from the pandemic to the racial injustice to just how the government even takes care and provides for its citizens, to just what is happening in your job, in your family. It is troublesome. And I would not dare suggest that God does these things because these are the only methods he has. No, but to suggest that even when this is the method or the medium that he uses, it's for our good. It becomes then the understanding of something in particular with this particular text, Psalms 119 verse 71. Let me read it to you again. My suffering was good for me. Lord, I love you. For it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. It becomes then understanding that we know that the lesson learned was good. He says in the text, taught us to pay attention to your degrees, to decrees, or to your statutes. So we know that teaching is good, and we know that trouble apparently is a teacher, because it was the suffering, it was the affliction that the psalmist declares actually taught him something. And so it then makes sense that trouble has good in it. It can be good for us. It is really the understanding of what in math is referred to as transitive law or syllogism. It is logic based on deductive reasoning. It kind of goes something like this. This is the way we would know it. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Did you get it? Okay. So trouble is a teacher. Teaching is good. Trouble is good. Okay. I'll run it by you one more time. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. Trouble is a teacher. We get that. But teaching is good. We need the lesson. Trouble is good. Sometimes the disconnect in understanding trouble and even God's use of it, being able to regard and relate to trouble as a teacher, is understanding method versus manifestation. Okay? Here we want to try to put the disconnect back together. That too many of us can't get what we need in the troublesome times in our lives because we messed up the understanding of trouble in as a teacher in misunderstanding method versus manifestation. What is trouble? Trouble is the method. Trouble is the teacher. It's the portal through which the lessons of life get learned. But what's good? Good is the manifestation that comes to bear in our lives as a result of what was learned through the teaching of trouble. Now see, what happens is too often, too many of us, too many people want the manifestation without the method. And that's a problem, because when you get the manifestation without the method, you become a manipulator. I'm trying to help you. I really do. I want to help you. I'll be done in a minute. I promise I don't need that much more time. When you try to put the cart before the horse, when you try to have product without process, you become a manipulator. It's manipulative to try to arrive at a place you didn't learn and earn to get to. It's a manipulation to try to have a product that you didn't process or was not processed in you to make that product what it needs to be. This is why sometimes the product of our lives is not as genuine, not as authentic. It doesn't have as much strength or as much integrity, because too many of us rush the process to get to the product. We rush the method to get to the manifestation. Our prayers were not, "Lord, teach me how to deal in this situation." No, all we wanted God to do was to get us out. All we wanted God to do was to fix the problem. All we wanted God to do was to drop money in our lap. All we wanted God to do was to make things better. And when we did that, we were manipulating the process for the product. We were manipulating the method for the manifestation. And here is why we don't have a good understanding and a healthy appreciation of the trouble that's been sent by God many times to teach us a lesson that you cannot learn if you don't go through. I wish I could talk to somebody this morning that it's real. It's real, because if we were honest, the testimony for a lot of us would be, we are manipulators.
That's the testimony. We've manipulated processes. We've manipulated people. We've manipulated opportunities. Sometimes we just didn't want to wait our turn, wait our time. And so we ended up with a product that didn't have any integrity. We ended up with a product that was honestly a cheap copy of the original, because you only get the original when you go through the process. And we thought that if it looked good, if it felt good, then it was good. But we are bad because we have manipulated every God sent item of trouble that was intended to bring us to where he wanted us to be. I'm trying to get you to a place, all of us, where we can appreciate the fact that trouble is our teacher at times. Here's what the text says. The text says, it was good for me. Do you see that in Psalms 119 and verse 71? He says, it was good for me that I had been afflicted. Good, good. Somebody just shout good, good. Type good, good, good. It was good. In other words, he's saying to us, trouble has its treasures. That there are literally advantages to being afflicted. Lessons that we can only come to learn when we experience trouble. Now, you can probably come up with your own list, but I'll share just a couple of my own personal lessons and through the trouble that I've seen. And maybe you can relate. Here's one lesson. The trouble that is called lack taught me how to be grateful for what I have. It did. The trip is, some people know how much I shop, how much I like to shop. And because they know how much I like to shop and they know some of the places that I shop, they don't understand the level of gratitude that I have for not just being able to go out and buy things that I might want, but the great gratitude that I have for what I have, because trouble taught me how to live with less. It was trouble. And I'm trying to keep this thing that's happening in my throat. I'm trying to keep it down because, see, my chest is getting hot right now because I know the lessons I've learned from trouble. Trouble taught me how to be grateful for what I have and how to live with little. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians. I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. You hear me, baby? Whatever state I am in. That's what trouble has taught me. Here's another lesson trouble taught me. Trouble, as in the loss of an individual, loss in death, taught me how to value relationships. Oh God, I wish I could help somebody this morning. I've learned how to value relationships. Here's a new piece. To the degree that I understand there's only one of me, so I spend time where I'm valued. Oh my God, I put the most that I have in the relationships where I'm celebrated and not just tolerated. Okay, I want to try to help you. My attitude is different when I'm around certain people because I know the value of relationships. And so sometimes it's not that I'm trying to be a certain way. It's just that I've learned how to conserve my energy for places where I'm celebrated. So when I get around certain people, I open up and I allow myself to be all that I fully am. No filter, no blockage, no opposition, because that person actually values me. So I put everything I've got into that relationship. I don't know who this is for, but some of you are dealing with relationship trouble right now. Is it you, baby? You're dealing with relationship trouble right now. You don't know who your friends are. You ain't got a BFF. You got a BF period. You have a best friend, a BFS, a best friend for a season. You ain't got a best friend forever. You got a BFS. And because I had that before, I've learned how to put my trouble taught me when people can laugh in your face and then talk behind your back. Trouble taught me how to put value in the right relationships. I got another lesson that I've learned. I'm gonna be done in a minute, I promise. Trouble that is called confusion taught me that peace is priceless. Yes, it does. It taught me that my peace is priceless, that anything that jeopardizes it, I got to get rid of it. See, here's the problem with some of us. We get stuck in the classroom called trouble with confusion because we haven't learned to value our peace. And when you don't value your peace, you stay longer in the class of confusion than you should. You have to come to the place where you see what doesn't work for your mind, for your health, and you get it out the way. You see how to take yourself out of situations and from around individuals that disturb your peace. I got to move past this, but trouble also taught me. Trouble called failure taught me how to be gracious in victory. Yes, it did. It taught me how to conduct myself when I had something somebody else didn't have. I didn't need to spend time making sure they knew what I had and how much I paid for it. No, trouble being without, trouble in failure, trouble not getting the things that I desired, trouble not getting the promotion when I wanted it. It taught me how to be gracious towards people both above me and beneath me. And I know you got your own list, but the reality is there are some things that trouble has taught you, things you could not have learned if it wasn't for the trouble that you experienced. And you ought to pause right now, honestly, and clap your hands, lift your hands, jump up and down, and thank God that trouble is your teacher, because it brought you to some places, brought you to some things, brought you to an understanding that if God be for you, who can be against you? I was about to turn too fast. Let me give you just one more piece of this and I'll leave you alone. The 10 o'clock hour is fast approaching and I ain't racing the clock. I'm just racing my own spirit because I'm trying not to act up in these people hotel room. Here's what the text says. He says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted. It's good for me. The end result of the vegetables I didn't like, but I needed to eat, is that it was good for me. Thank you, Jesus. Here's why he says it was good for him. So that I might learn thy statutes. Oh, glory to God. Let me tell you something interesting here. This phrase, that I might learn, actually has the Hebrew meaning to exercise in. Okay. God, I love you. Here's what he says. Here's what he says. He says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might have the opportunity to exercise in what I learned. Oh, my God. It's the difference. Let me see if I can give it to you this way. It's the difference between lifting weights in the gym and moving the refrigerator at home. in the gym, the weights don't fight back. in the gym, there is more often than not a person who's willing to assist me in the event that I come under weight that's too heavy for me.
Jesus.
Yeah. God, I love you. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's a different opportunity that he says trouble gives to me. Here's what trouble does. He says that trouble gives me the opportunity to exercise in what? The situation. In other words, that trouble allows me to flex when it matters. This is not for the show. This is not just to arrive at a higher number of weight that can be lifted. No, trouble is when I am in the situation and I have to prove how strong I am. This is what trouble does. Trouble has ensured that I am prepared for the given opportunity and that I am able to exercise in whatever manifests in my life. It's the truth, honestly, of what I shared on yesterday during our prayer moment, that you and I, we've got to exercise our faith, that our faith must be something that produces and not just what we possess. It's got to be faith that understands how to exercise in trials, how to exercise in tests, how to exercise in tribulations, how to exercise in our troubles, because that is the thing that offers to us the opportunity to work our faith. And I don't know who I came to holler at this morning, but the reality is if you never had trouble, you would be one-dimensional. If you never had a problem, you wouldn't know really how to exercise faith and what it looked like to persevere, to push through, and to bless God even when you didn't feel like he was blessing you. If you had never been disappointed by folk you thought were friends, if you had never been without enough finances to buy bread or milk, if you had never been threatened with eviction or foreclosure, if you had never been in fear for your life, if you've never, glory, a place where you thought you were going to lose it all, if you've never been at a place where you thought your mind was going to just jump out of your head, if you have never been in a place where you thought that all hope was lost, then you would not never have known that God could supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Then you would never have known that by his stripes you are healed. If you never had the trouble, you wouldn't have learned the lesson that he that is in you is greater than he that's against you. You would never have learned the lesson that the Lord will be your shepherd. God, I love you, and you wouldn't have to want. You would never have learned how good it is that God was with you, your light and your salvation. And I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but some of us have been wasting our trouble. Some of us have been wasting our problems. Some of us have not gotten the full benefit of the problems that have been sent into our lives. We've not even seized the full potential of growth and production in a pandemic. And so I came to tell you this morning that you are now in the remedial class, but God wants to promote you up out of it. But you can't get up out of it until you learn how to thank God for trouble, until you learn how to give God praise in the middle of mess, until you learn how to shout in the middle of a storm, when it's then that you can see that the things that trouble is teaching you are actually for your good. And so I hear the Apostle Paul reminding us, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in persecution. I glory in tests. I glory in strife, I glory in sickness and infirmities. It's not because the sickness, the strife, or the infirmity feels good. No, it's because I know that it's working it out for my good. I know that it's making me stronger. It's making me better. It's making me glory God. Give glory to God. It's bringing me to a place, God, I bless you, where I am better because of my trouble. And when I graduate, I'll look back over my life and I will scream, it was good for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It was good for me to have gone through what I went through. It was good for me to have to borrow a few dollars for gas. It was good for me for not have enough money to get my clothes out to cleaners. It was good for me that I had to take medicine and couldn't even figure out how to pay for the prescription. It was good. People were talking behind my back. Good for me that they messed up my name. Good for me that there were moments I didn't know which way to turn. Good for me that moments my marriage was on the rocks. It was good for me to have to trust God to heal my daughter. Good for me that I went through what I went through, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm so glad. Yes, God. I'm so glad that God used trouble as my teacher. I'm stronger today. Stronger today. Because of what I went through. And you are going to be stronger because of what you go through. Stronger because of what you have endured. You'll look back and you'll think like the apostle, and you will say that this light affliction, oh God, which is but for a moment, has worked for me a far more exceeding and eternal way. It's working for me. Can I just encourage you right there? I'll leave you alone. It's past 10 o'clock, but I want to tell you, it's working for you. Just learn the lesson. Don't manipulate. Don't skip the process. Learn the lesson and allow trouble. Allow trouble. Allow trouble. Glory to God. Glory to God. Allow trouble to be your teacher. Allow trouble to be your teacher.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety or a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.